Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
I'm so excited to welcome back to Absolute Radio Country, Mr. Kane Brown. Kane, it's so great to see you. I still think they're cleaning up the glitter from your show at the O2 when you were last here. You headlined C2C.
Yeah.
Loads of fire, loads of glitter. How was that show for you?
It was fun. Anytime I get to be on stage, I have a good time. So it was exciting, and I love to see how much country music's growing over here, the fan base.
I want to say thank you firstly. I'm a dad of three, and had some daddy time on the Xbox last night. And I put your album on. That's my favorite way to listen to music. I love your new record, The High Road, honestly. As a songwriter myself, it is so country. I think there's so many moments in it where you're so honest and so real. I'd love to get into loads of the songs. There's so many songs I want to ask you about. One is Haunted.
Mm-hmm.
That's when jumping straight into something a bit sort of deep. But yeah. Can you tell the story behind that song? Because it moved me so much.
Yeah. I've always just kind of gone through depression and never really could find anybody to talk to about it. I mean, unless you go through it, you can't really talk to anybody about it. But I believe that some of the writers that were in the room with me, Jackson and Gabe, completely understand it. So it was almost like a therapy session to me, just telling them how I feel and them being able to relate and just putting it into a song and hoping other people can, you know, take something away from it.
So I feel like it definitely will. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a sensitive subject that, you know, not a lot of people talk about. And then, of course, Jelly jumped on the song with me. So it's really cool of him. And I think he goes through the same thing as well.
I mean, I think for me, I've written in Nashville a lot. And if someone came in and said, let's write a song about, you know, depression, I think a lot of writers would run a mile because it's such a sort of deep subject. But for me, listening to that song, it's like the two sides of it. When you're singing, I relate to that a lot, the way you're singing. Then Jelly comes in, it's quite like,
yeah,
it's his more sort of, I don't know, painful.
Yeah, mine's kind of just like I'm here, I've lived with it. It's just part of me. And Jelly's just kind of just like, wants it out of the room, you know?
Yeah.
But I think that's a big part of it, you know? There's different levels to it. So that's why that song means so much to me.
I think you're helping so many people with that, because I saw your show in Nashville. And there's a moment in the set where you're really vulnerable and you talk about that on stage, which is just not, I don't know, for me, I was really surprised. You've got 20,000 people there and you're opening up like that. I mean, how, are you comfortable doing that as a person, to bear yourself like that?
Yeah, that's the most comfortable I am, is, you know, talking about something that hoping that my fans can relate to. I feel like that's just kind of how I got my career and got started, is just being open and vulnerable of what I, you know, went through when it came to race and child abuse and all that stuff. And I had so many fans reach out to me at the beginning of my career and said that they were going through the same stuff. And you don't just run into people every day that's been through some of that stuff. So whenever you can relate to that with somebody, it just makes you a stronger, you know, a stronger connection with them.
Yeah, definitely. I love the song 3. On your record as well. Very honest song. Again, a lot of it's about your family as well and who you are. How has being a dad, being a parent, sort of changed you as an artist from your early records to now?
It hasn't yet.
Okay.
But it's about to. I can feel more stories being written the more we just play and being a dad in general, hanging out. I have, of course, the song Backseat Driver on the record as well. So I'm guessing, you know, just being a father, I'll eventually release a dad record, at the end of the day. So, but it's been amazing, just having kids. Do you have boys, girls?
Well, two boys, 8 and 6.
Two boys and
a girl.
So just reverse. I have two girls and a boy.
Okay.
So it's just good times.
I'm finding the girl easier now. Although she's scratched me, if you can see that. She's scratched me. On radio. She gave me a big scratch the other day. With Backseat Driver, it's one of the only songs you didn't co-write on the record. When you heard that song, though, did you just feel that connection to it straight away?
Yeah, it immediately felt like one of my songs. Felt like I was a writer on the song. I just related to it. So, I mean, if you're a parent, you got to relate to that song.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, even being, 31 years old, I can look back at my time being in the McDonald's drive-thru on my way to school and, relate to the song.
I'll be honest, I did cry. when I heard that song the first time. I'm not going to lie, I really did. Oh. Because, do you know, the thing of like, in what we do, it's you get so wrapped up in everything. And a lot of it is obviously real, but it's not as real as that stuff, is it? You know, her sitting in the car saying that stuff to you.
Yeah. I mean, I just the day before I flew here, I was laying in bed with my wife and we were just looking at old videos. And like my five-year-old now, just her being two, or her being at my middle child's age, just looking back, just like, man, it was like it was yesterday. I remember this taking this video.
Yeah.
And her almost, you know, feels like she's 16 now. So you just can't take time for granted at all.
My favorite thing is looking back, like when they're sort of five or six, knowing their personalities, you look at the, when they were two and one, the old videos, and you can see the little looks they have now, and you're like, oh, that's what you're thinking.
Or the same face. That's, went back because my son Crew, I'm like, well, you just got to look at his face and think of him as at five.
Yeah,
it makes no sense, but I don't know. Looking back, they have the same face, which is crazy to me.
Welcome back to Yeah, That's a Pepper Thing. First up, we've got Harrison wrapping his Dr. Pepper in a tiny quilt so it feels at home. Oh, how tender. That's a Pepper Thing. And over to Becca, who's whispering affirmations to her can.
You're sweet. You're unique. You're the best thing I ever poured over ice.
She swears it makes it taste better. It's not a science thing, but it's a Pepper Thing. Why do they all do it? All for that sweet, delicious, truly one-of-a-kind taste of Dr. Pepper. It's a Pepper Thing.
The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grüns. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing, they're easy to toss in my bag on the go, plus they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA and FSA, eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grüns.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
I've got to say, also on Instagram and on social media, which has been a big part of your career, I love how you share your family life. And obviously the songs that you have with Caitlin, your wife. Mm-hmm. I mean, how does that work? Like with Thank God, for example, the first song you did together, how did that come about?
That's a good question. I don't remember what I did yesterday. I remember hearing the song. Oh, yeah. I remember hearing the song, and then I took it up to Kate, and then she loved the song, and we were trying to sing it together, I think. It wasn't originally a duet, right? Yeah. And so she jumped on it, and that's when it all started. But she was an artist before me.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, it wasn't weird or anything. Like, we already knew she could sing. It wasn't like, it wasn't like, babe, let's see what you sound like, and then just take it into the studio.
But like to perform it on stage together as well, which you did in Nashville when I saw you.
Yeah.
Like, I found it really amazing because my wife likes to sing. She's not as good as your wife. But is it, I don't know, is that interesting being on stage together when you have, I don't know, you have your life obviously, and then being on stage in front of all these people and you're performing, but you're still together.
Yeah.
I can't, what's the kind of, was
it's
it
cool?
Sort of,
it's know? Like a comforting feeling, like, because I'm already comfortable on stage. She's not so much. But like, I don't know, it's whenever she's there, it's like, no, we're not, it's like we're almost not even in front of anybody.
That's lovely.
Yeah. So it's like we're just in our kitchen. that's how it feels to me. I know for her, it's different. Like, it's funny because she's always telling everybody, she doesn't really have, you know, many interviews, but she'll tell our friends. She's like, yeah, we get all these cute pictures of us and, you know, holding on to each other. And she's like, it looks so sweet. But she's like, in reality, I'm terrified and I'm just gripping on to him. So, because she has really bad anxiety. So whenever she's, you know, got a death grip on me, it's because she feels like she's about to pass out.
That's so nice. I can relate to that because I get stage anxiety and my band partner doesn't. She's just like the most calm person in the world. And
yeah.
I know it's funny, like, doing so many shows, you go into this weird place, don't you? Because you have, like, time kind of slows down. So you can see that. In Kate, I couldn't see it at all when you guys perform.
Yeah, she plays it off naturally, and she's got a beautiful smile, so that usually plays in. But just me being a husband, I can see when it's about to happen, so I get close to her or whatever. But no, I mean she's a natural at hiding it, and it's just, you know, the more you do it, you got to think she took 6 months off because she was pregnant with my son, and then she came out and had to do Fenway.
Oh, wow.
Which is where Boston Red Sox play. So yeah, I mean, it's a going from not playing anything for 6 months to coming out for one song in front of
70
a lot of people.
A lot of people.
I don't know, it's nerve-wracking.
Do you pinch yourself though? Because I was looking at your story. I've got a lot of similarities with, you know, being biracial as well. But, you know, you were going to join the army, is that right? And then you became a FedEx driver. And then, you know, there were, I imagine there were moments you thought it would never happen. And then now you're playing these huge, huge shows. Do you ever have time to sort of reflect on that?
It never hits me. You know, I wish it would. Still kind of feel like that nobody, as weird as that sounds. Yeah, and just kind of feel like, I said it earlier, but just kind of feel like I'm stuck on autopilot. I feel like I need to write a song called Autopilot. Maybe I gave you something. Maybe you write it. But yeah, I don't know. It's a weird feeling that I'll never be able to explain probably till 10 years after I retire.
It doesn't come across that way. Your autopilot is pretty, it's a pretty good autopilot.
Appreciate it.
I have to ask about Brad Paisley, obviously.
Yeah.
Your song together. It has a kind of Friends in Low Places kind of vibe to me. How did that come about?
So that song was written by, I'm gonna butcher this, Jesse Frazier, Morgan Wallen, Hardy. I ended up posting it on Instagram like a year before I released it, and everybody in the comments started saying, sounds like a Brad Paisley song. So of course I had to ask him. And I remember golfing, and my producer Dan Huff called me and said, hey, Brad's on the song. He said, I'm gonna send it to you right now. And he said he played the solo. Dan's a really good guitar player. He was like, I had to let Brad play the solo on this one. Like, well, he's a pretty good guitar player. So
it's funny though with the album, it sort of goes in these, it's so eclectic. You know, one minute you've got a song like Miles on it, and then you're jumping into something like Things We Quit, which is really sort of has 90s, noughties country feel to it, very sort of Broadway, downtown Nashville kind of feel. Do you just write what you want and record what you want now? Is that what you do? Because it sounds like you're just doing what you want. There's a freedom there in the record almost.
Yeah, I feel like it is, but it's another thing I can't explain. I feel like it's definitely free and definitely caged, if that makes any sense.
Not really.
I don't know. I told you in 10 years I'll be able to explain what I'm trying to talk about, but I don't know. I feel like there is definitely a freeing of I can do what I want, but there's like this line that I haven't crossed that I want to so bad, but I just can't do it.
Genre-wise or
just sound-wise, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. It'll happen one day.
What is it? What do you want to do?
Can't explain it. I literally can't explain it. It's just a thought in my head that I don't know how to get it out.
Okay. It's like a violin album. You're not secretly going to do like a classical.
No.
just checking. Very quickly, just going to say, obviously, your UK tour, you've announced Glasgow, Birmingham, Manchester, London for October. You're doing Wembley Arena in London, huge venue. You must be so excited to come back for those shows.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited, you know, just to be on stage. And never thought that I would be over here and people would be singing my music. So, it's a great feeling.
You're coming back with Dasha as well. I'm a big fan of her over here. Is it different playing in the UK to the US? Is the audience different or not really?
I would say they're different. Just I feel like every artist would say the deep cuts. You know, everybody sings them a lot more over here than they would in the States. But yeah, and it's just I don't know, it's just different being away from home.
Yeah.
Just being, you know, it's cool. Never thought music would travel as far as it did.
Kane, thank you so much.
Thank you.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.